it is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. As we do every Friday morning at 7 o'clock, we welcome in our friend Jared Stillman to the program. Jared, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good. First off, condolences to your Atlanta Braves. Just didn't quite have enough against the Padres.
You know, I mean, I think there's like a certain level of context with every kind of win or loss or whatever it may be. The last 2 years, I wasn't upset when the Braves lost in the first round of the playoffs because they won the World Series. 2 years prior to that, so I was like, can't be upset. This year, I mean, they had every injury in the book. It was like the Titans season from the last couple of years, and they still found a way to make the playoffs. They did not play well in the playoffs, did not pitch well in the playoffs, but they did their best, and I can tip my cap to that.
You make excuses for your baseball team, and you nitpick every little thing about your football team. Wow. That's interesting.
Well, I mean, what excuses does my football team have?
I don't know, but you just found some from the Braves. Why can't you find some from the Titans?
They did have a lot of injuries.
The Braves won the World Series 3 years ago. If the Titans won the Super Bowl, you wouldn't hear me bitch about anything.
Really? Oh, I need to test this out. We'd all love to test this out.
I will tell you right now, I don't know if you guys have heard me. My dad is 73 years old, and I have said this several times. I want one Super Bowl. That's all I want.
Yeah. And then it's a freaking sunshine and lollipops on his show for the rest of time. It's okay. That's all right, Rand. Another bad draft? Give Rand an extension.
Hey, I mean, how many times do I bring up the fact that John Robinson won 61% of his games?
You do.
I know John Robinson did a lot of bad things there at the end, a lot of dumb things. I would not have traded for Julio Jones. I begged them not to. Everybody told me, no, Jared. They need him, but again,
Jared remembers the three times he was right about anything.
He's looking pretty good.
No, I remember all the times I went on Corey Curtis's show after they signed somebody, and I said, you know, I don't like this, and everybody got mad at me when they signed Clowney. When Joe said he'd do it again.
No, what I said was, going back to that moment, yes, I like the sign. I like both of those moves. And now, if you have information afterward, sure.
My favorite was the way you worded it at the time. And we got the cut somewhere. I don't know where. But you said, you know, if I could do it again, I still would have signed Clowney. And I remember the old man. This might have been like last week that he was working with us. He was like, so hold on, let me get this straight. Joe says that if he knew what he knew now, where he got no sacks, he'd still do it.
Both of you took my words out of context.
Both of you. Okay. Very disappointed, though, Robbie, because of my defeat at Jared versus Joe. I lose every now and then at Jared versus Joe.
Every now and then,
but
yeah.
This one really miffed me. I was really,
wow,
really
your take was
Caleb.
Terrible. You heard his take? It's so stupid.
So, again,
you take all the responsibility off Levis. Like, none of it's on Levis. It's such a terrible take. Okay. Caroline was too nice in delivering the victory to me. She was too nice to you.
Again, so Joe's the question was, why is Will Levis throwing all these picks this year when he didn't last year? Joe is saying Will Levis is trying too hard. That is the crux of Joe's argument. Do you disagree?
I don't necessarily disagree with that.
Okay. My argument is this coaching staff is giving Levis more responsibility of a quarterback than last year's coaching staff did. Last year's coaching staff babied him, and defensive coaches get to watch tape too, so they adjust to what they see on tape. And I would say this in every sport. I mean, in every sport, there's the initial period, and then there's the adjustment period, and the question is, do you adjust to the adjustments? Guys get called up to the major leagues, and they hit home runs right away. All of a sudden, teams realize, you know what, he can't hit a curveball. They start throwing you curveballs until you adjust to it. So I think it's crazy that you and Caroline think Levis's problem is that he's pressing too hard.
Well,
my problem is they want him to be a big boy quarterback, and he can't be a big boy quarterback.
I'm not dismissing more on his plate. I'm not dismissing that defenses, you know, they learn more about players. But
then it can't be the stupidest take of all time, Joe.
Right, but no, because the question was however it was phrased about his dumb plays. none of what you said explains the holy bleep roller or the miracle flip. And those are the plays that we think about, right? Those are just, what could you possibly be thinking, dude? Like the Bears can get all the film they want, but what they did then in the box, we're like, oh my God, this idiot gave us the ball. Yay. It had nothing to do with their preparation for Will Levis.
I did not think she was talking about the two stupid plays.
She,
I thought.
Okay, there's your problem. You need to listen. You need to do more listening,
when
a little less talking.
When she said last year, I mean, I think we're talking about the fact that he had four interceptions all of last year, and
Correct. He's
got, like, what, eight or nine this year?
He's got six picks and
three lost fumbles.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the idea that he's turning the ball over like crazy, especially
but again,
throwing
your
interceptions.
Answer, so your answer, though, has nothing to do with you don't think – I mean, you asked the question of him, of having $250 million – in his grasp and everything in the world on this season. I mean, the fact that, like, if you don't think that's part of the answer, I mean, you're just, come on, man. I mean, you're not thinking about this clearly.
But
I thought he was stupid last year, too.
If that is the determining, like, if that is affecting him that much, that does not speak well of your ability to be a quarterback in the National Football League. Like, a lot of guys have that pressure and are able to deliver through it. Like, you know, like, that does not speak. If that's affecting him to that degree, that's not a very good sign to me.
I mean, the great players, when it comes to stuff like that, you know, when it comes to the bigger moments, like when the going gets tough, the great players excel in those moments.
Right.
And he freaks out. He panics in those moments. And maybe I'm crazy. I don't know. I just not sure I necessarily see that changing.
So why are you a Tavondre Sweat hater?
Yeah, Robbie torched that take.
I am a stat. You know, I'm not one of these, man, it looks like he's making a lot of plays. Is he hitting the quarterback? Because that's what the 38th overall pick in the draft is supposed to do. And right now he's not hitting the quarterback. He's a great run stuffer. And if this were 1994, he might be the number one overall pick in the draft the same way Dan Wilkinson was. Robbie, I don't know if you remember Dan Wilkinson.
I do not.
I know you remember Big Daddy.
Big Daddy. Oh, heck yeah.
Big Daddy. So, you know, in a different era, maybe it mattered more, but it's like Rick Spielman said, the cut I sent you, Robbie.
Oh, I heard it.
Of him saying, like, hey, I mean, that's great that Sweat's a good nose tackle, but if I'm drafting 38, I need guys that make plays in the fourth quarter and on third down, and that's affecting the quarterback. And at this point, Sweat hasn't done it. So for you to say he's a steal based upon where he's drafted is so factually incorrect.
I said if he continues to play like he did Monday, he will be a steal.
If he continues to be a run-stuffing DT?
No, he made plays. Again, Jared, this is where you – where's the sack? I don't see a sack. Sack? Sack?
Quarterback hits?
Yeah. Look, if he's all over the field, if he's all over the field like he was and playing 75% of the snaps and blowing up double teams, he will hit the quarterback too, Jared. I trust you. He will be a first round pick. What?
Denard. Okay. Denard's up there talking about how Arden Key's playing great. And when we start heating up, Arden will heat up.
Oh boy.
Okay,
Paul had the best response, which was, well, you say when we heat up, he'll heat up, but aren't some of these guys responsible for you guys to heat up? And Denard Wilson then went to, well, they're doing the best they can.
By the way, we have questions for Jared on the text line. Trevor says, hey, remember when Stilly the Pooh's source said Nick Folk was washed and couldn't kick a 50-yard field goal? Oh, that's one of my favorites. What'd you call him, baby leg? Baby leg? Is that what you call
mini
him?
Leg.
Mini leg. Yeah,
but
there we go.
I will say, I said this to Willie because Willie texts me every time Nick Folk hits a 29-yarder.
Good. Good. Yo, go, Willie.
I said to Willie, I go, look, that was last year. This year is the year of me getting everything right. And so far, between PT, who, Joe, you thought could play right tackle. And
Highest graded offensive lineman Monday.
Okay, would you like to claim him?
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you like to claim PT?
What do you mean claim him?
Claim him off waivers?
No.
No, is he your guy,
He's not
Joe?
My guy.
Yeah,
but don't have
so,
a parade.
So you going to claim him or not claim him, Joe?
Well, what does that mean? You just can't throw a parade for yourself after three games. You want to. But let's see how it plays
Four.
Out.
And yes.
Well, the fourth game was good.
You were the one that was telling me
that hurt
yourself. I'm watching.
Pleasuring got hurt by that.
PT gave up like four pressures and a sack on Monday night. Just because it's better than the other games doesn't mean that it's good.
Hey, he's right about Sammy D. Sammy D looks good throwing the ball out
there. Oh,
he was right about Sammy D. I'll give you Sam Darnold. I'll give you Sam Darnold right now.
I was expecting more.
He's been good. He's been really good.
Victory lap from Jared there.
Well, I will say this. I mean, Sam Darnold, this is what I love. And I don't know if Levis has this in his brain, but at the end of the Green Bay game, when Green Bay started to make their comeback, it was a 6-point game in the fourth quarter, and Darnold was driving, like, inside the 10-yard line. And there was a third down play, or there was a second down play where there was a free rusher, and Darnold just dropped to the ground before they could even hit him.
Yeah.
Darnold just dropped to the ground. And then on third down, he dropped back, took about two steps, saw nobody was open, and chucked it into the 10th row so they could kick a field goal to go up 9 in the fourth quarter. And it's like, I don't know if Levis can do that.
Hey, by the way, I got some really good text here from Brian Summers. So, Chris Jones, rookie year, 2 sacks. Vita Vea, rookie year, 3 sacks. Dexter Lawrence, rookie year, 2.5 sacks. All turned out okay. I wish we could put you on a show in those towns and just lighting up how brutal they are and how ineffective because they don't have the sacks.
How many quarterback hits?
I don't know, Jared. Go look it up.
Because Robbie tried to make – oh, so you want me to look up your argument.
I mean,
Robbie tried to make this argument with me the other day. Robbie tried to make this argument with me the other day about Albert Haynesworth. Albert Haynesworth in one season had 22 quarterback hits.
He did. When Albert wanted some money, he played well.
That's great. 22. Simmons, like a good year for Simmons is like 14 quarterback hits. Albert had 22 in a season. And that season, by the way, because he was hitting the quarterback so much, led to three guys being named to the Pro Bowl out of the secondary, Chris Hope, Michael Griffin, and Cortland Finnegan. And Michael Griffin led the league in interceptions. Michael Griffin. Joe, I know you don't understand how far-fetched that is because you didn't cover Michael Griffin, but Robbie knows how far-fetched it is for Michael Griffin to lead the NFL in interceptions.
Hey, Michael Griffin was a very nice player at Texas.
He was. So was
he
Sweat.
Was terrible with the Titans for the majority of the years that we were told. He was. He and McCourty and Derek Morgan were like the three guys.
First round pick.
That we were always told were good, and they were never good like compared to everybody else. They were just good for the Titans, and that used to always drive me crazy. I'm trying to figure out who we have now. I think Simmons is a little bit of that, but Simmons is a good player. It's just he's not a great player, and everybody fawns over him like he's a great player, which – I do agree with Paul that is a little over the top.
Jared?
By the way, I did not know this until I heard the Midday Show talking about this. I heard Adam bring it up. You asked Paul, would he rather me be the general manager of the Titans or him never be able to say he went to Columbia?
Yes.
Well, that was somebody asked on the text line.
What was his final choice?
Well, he said basically one was realistic and one wasn't, and you yelled at him that both were unrealistic.
So. Yes, exactly, yeah.
Okay, so basically Paul was the guy who, when we play the would you rather game, because that is a would you rather question, answered neither.
Correct,
yes.
Oh, come on. And you guys didn't hold his feet to the fire.
I ripped him and I said that neither is realistic. You will continue to tell us you went to Columbia.
Yes.
But he never picked.
You will not be the GM.
He never picked.
He didn't pick, no. Why don't you have him on and grill him?
Have Paul on?
Yeah, have Paul on.
Paul? I don't want to know. You said
it's Stilly and Paulie.
Are you impersonating him or yourself?
I smoke weed constantly.
There we go.
My problem with Paul is like when I get into an argument with Paul, I actually enjoy arguing with Paul. But when I get into an argument with Paul, my biggest problem is like about minute 6 of an argument, he starts to become like really personal.
Yeah, you guys both go a little.
And then it's like, and so then I have to sometimes. Like make a comment about how no one in this town wants to hire him because I have to throw 97 like up and in to back him up off the plate. Because if not, he'll walk all over you.
There you go. Yeah. Jared, thanks for being with us. Have a good weekend.
Gentlemen, have a good weekend.
Jared Stillman, our guest, every Friday morning at 7 o'clock. We'll react to what Jared had to say there. Take more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
At least he didn't say anything to get us an FCC violation today. I almost did.
125, 106.3, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tomorrow for Vanderbilt football. Commodores taking on Alabama with pregame beginning at 1:30. Kickoff at 3:15. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at thegamenashville.com. Thanks to Jared Stillman for being with us in the last segment. Joe, you have more numbers that have been provided on our text line.
Yeah, good old, you know, Brian Summers, I appreciate you chiming in, Brian Summers. But when we're yelling with Stilly, I need you to be a little faster. I need you to be a little faster, Brian Summers. Here's a great one. I wish we could have told Stilly. Hopefully he's still listening. Let's see. Quarterback hits. That's the big one, right? Jared's big on the quarterback hits. So Simmons here early in his sixth season, in which he's played three of the four games, has 58 quarterback hits in his career. Albert Haynesworth in his 10-year career had 65. Now, I know you could, he may come back and say, well, I understand that he had a brief time where he was, and yes, we all know Haynesworth for a moment in this league was the most dominant interior defensive lineman, got paid, stopped being that, basically, right? But just saying, 65 in a 10-year career, Simmons has 58 right now. I don't even know, like, were we even really arguing about Simmons? We're arguing about sweat, but.
Correct.
Yeah. You know. Well, I mean, just, look, Jared's wrong, and it's fine, and it's the usual. I will give him the credit on Sam Darnold. If Sam Darnold carries this through all year, I will absolutely say, hey, kudos to you, because I certainly was not going into this season expecting Sam Darnold to light the world up. I'm still kind of waiting for that other shoe to drop there with him. But right now, it looks great.
He looks pretty darn good. I watched a lot of Sam Darnold last weekend. He looked pretty darn good. So we'll see.
I also, you know, this is what we should do, actually, is, like, takes after week one that look dumb now. Like, for example, remember, like, because someone's asking me to say, you should have asked Stilly about Cousins, who he rips, and Cousins just threw a five. Like, week one take of, oh, boy, when's Penix getting that job, you know? But the Darnold, he continues to back it up week after week.
He does.
And Sweat, to your argument, if he plays like that, there will be also quarterback hits involved. I mean, Sweat's never going to be like a, I don't think, a double-digit sack guy.
No.
But that's a first-round pick performance the other night. That's what your point was. And so if you're a first-round pick level player and you went in the second round, I think that kind of tells us the answer.
I'm just saying if he plays like he did the other night,
right.
I would take that every time.
And let's see if he does.
Hey, look, would I like Devondre Sweat to hit the quarterback? Sure, of course. I'm a little bit worried about the quarterback if that happens.
But yeah, that's one of those. You know, the, obviously they are, and I think it's a good. I know you hate the QB roughing stuff.
I sure do.
I think that the weight on the QB rule is a good rule, and I know sometimes it's hard because bang bang and you fall down. But you know, guys have gotten pretty good at understanding that and just not like. But, man, if that guy goes full weight on a QB, we could have a real problem.
A real problem on our hands. Yes, I do hate I hate mostly everything about roughing the passer in today's football. Mostly everything about it.
I think the weight on – the full weight on them and the low hits, because that's where you wreck knees. I mean, I'm with those. Some of the little – like a tiny little brush across the helmet or something like that is where I'm with you.
Yeah. There's too much of that going on in today's – NFL. Wes in Hermitage on the text line says, I saw an article Tuesday morning after the game that said what we learned about the Titans Monday night, and the second point was Bill Callahan's offensive line is starting to come together nicely. I'm trying to figure out how they got that analysis. Any thoughts? This is from Wes from Hermitage on the text line. It was, look, Brian Callahan said it in his press conference the day after the game. There was a different plan with the offensive line that just didn't involve that much drop-back passing. And look, it became pretty clear through one quarter of the game, Joe, that Tyler Huntley was not going to be able to hurt you that badly on the other side. So, to me, that does change what you do offensively, right?
Yeah.
Like, you start to run the ball. You have, you know, quick sets in your passing game. Like, you know, Mason Rudolph made a couple of plays, right? Like, the play right before the half to get the ball down the field to Tyler Boyd is a nice play. Like, but they didn't drop back that much in the game. So, like, it was just a different type of game. So, did they make progress? Yes. I'm interested to see what that progress looks like when they are forced, which they will be here shortly, to drop back and throw the ball in the game.
Yeah, that's totally fair. Situationally, they were helped by other things that were, you know, on the other side of the ball and things like that. And so maybe they hid them a little bit in the last game and you could get away with that. I still feel like there were enough reps of, like, third and long, you know, obviously mostly Rudolph, where I thought they created a legitimate pocket you know, for him. So, and I know also, by the way, I mean, Jalen Phillips got hurt in that game. So as soon as he goes out, I mean, he was the problem, and he beat NPF, you know, pretty severely early in the game. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, we'll see. I still think it's a confidence builder, and I know that the numbers weren't great, as Kuharski pointed out. There were definitely plenty of 1 and 2 yard runs, but I think that you see like that they need to stay close in games, stay attached to teams, stay ahead, and run the ball a lot.
Yeah, Ron on the text line. Do you think that there are still quarterbacks in the league that are willing to give up some of their money to get the help to bring in on the team like Brady did? Maybe Mahomes, do you think, or is everybody money hungry these days?
Oh, so Brady, Saint Brady, he wasn't money hungry.
He gave up some money.
Yeah. Robert Kraft bought him an island, and we all know it. This is the NIL of the NFL. The owner's like, hey, man, here, yeah, I'll put this in a Swiss bank account for you. I mean, first of all, Brady's not the only guy who's done that. In fact, didn't we just have a situation like that? I thought we did have a situation like that with one of the QBs in the league.
I don't. There's been so many of them, I don't remember.
Yeah. I mean,
Trevor Lawrence didn't give up any money.
No.
Neither did Jordan Love.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, first of all, if...
Neither did Tua.
Yeah, well, I mean, frankly, good for him, you know? If the Dolphins are going to pay you with the questions you have around that, good for you for getting it. Yeah, I mean, first of all, yes, I think we will see more situations where, you know, there's people doing that. But another thing is, and this is kind of aligning me with Stilly, but it is different now with the cap. You can do more now in terms of kicking the can down the road. So I do think that's part of the answer. And that may change the next CBA. We'll see. But, I think that's part of it too. But, I mean, everybody money hungry. I mean, I don't know. I know. Let me raise my hand. I'm going to get every cent I can if I'm an NFL quarterback or anything.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's anything wrong with that, is there?
I don't think so. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Chase Whitebluff says – Drew Brees always did it, too.
Did
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
I don't remember the contract.
I don't remember that, but, I mean, I'm not disputing it.
615-737-1025. We are less than a week away from opening night for the Nashville Predators. We'll roll through some Preds thoughts coming up next. We'll have the Rex Rand at 745. TD joining us to talk all things Titans at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. We are broadcasting from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Oh, and the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. We are 6 days away from opening night for the Nashville Predators. They will take on the Dallas Stars next Thursday at Bridgestone Arena.
That's insane to me.
Kind of is to
me,
too.
I say it every year.
Happens quick. And here we are. October the 10th will be opening night for the Predators against the Dallas Stars. Obviously, there's going to be a ton of excitement about this team, ton of intrigue heading into the year with the new pieces that they've got. I will say the preseason so far has been pretty encouraging on that front. Now, full disclosure, the last two preseason games they've played were against a bunch of nobodies from Tampa Bay for the most part and a bunch of nobodies from Carolina. And no disrespect to those guys. Remember, I'm saying with all due respect, but most of those players are not going to play in the NHL. So the Predators did basically what they should have done. They won 6-0 against Tampa Bay. They won 6-4 the other night against Carolina. So in those two games, Jonathan Marchessault has 3 goals and 2 assists. He got 5 points. Stamkos set him up for a nice shot the other night. They played their first game together in a game setting with Novak, Stamkos, and Marchessault the other night against Carolina. So you're starting to see more of the realistic lineup get into some of these game actions. There's two more preseason games left. Saturday against Carolina at home. Monday in a makeup game down in Tampa after Hurricane Helene hit down there. They're making up that preseason game. And then it's the real thing next Thursday. I'm really interested to see. I think one of the most intriguing parts of this is like how quickly can they start out of the gate? Like how quickly does it all come together? Forsberg, O'Reilly, Nyquist, I expect there to be immediate production. I mean, they played together against Carolina the other night. All three of them factored in on a goal. I mean, O'Reilly makes a defensive play. Forsberg makes an insane play to get the puck to Nyquist, and he puts it home. Like, those guys played the last 70-plus games together last year. They pick up right where they left off.
I'm expecting the production to be there instantaneously. How long is it going to take for Stamkos, Novak, Marchessault, I think, is an interesting question. New system for two of those guys.
Yeah, how long and how good can it be? And,
right.
You know, Novak, you know, Novak as a – it's just such an opportunity for him, you know. And the, it's just you have great players and you create for them and you don't have to score a lot of goals. I mean, that's – what does that do for him? Does he look any different to you?
Well, I mean, look, he looks good. Now, I still have big questions about him. Here's how I would approach it, and they may disagree with this. I think regardless of how he plays, and he could put up 75 points in the regular season, I don't care. Regardless of how he plays, they need to eye this season with, we are going to have to make a move for a centerman at the trade deadline.
To take that spot.
To take that spot or at least give you an option at that spot.
Yeah.
He doesn't necessarily
have to
take it.
With the playoffs,
but in the playoffs, you need an option for that spot. Look, I have questions about their center depth anyway. Like, Ryan O'Reilly is a good player. We know that. Is he a number one center still? Probably a really, really, really good number two. But he's playing number one role here. Like, I don't worry about Ryan O'Reilly.
If you have depth behind that, then you're fine.
Right.
That's the thing,
exactly.
Right?
Novak, I have big questions about. Like, the playoffs to me were a pretty big red flag for him last year. Now, he's got a heck of an opportunity in front of him. And you've got Stamkos and Marchessault on both wings, at least to start. So that's a heck of an opportunity. Sissons, and we'll see what they do on the fourth line, you know, with McCarron, and they got Jankowski down there and Parson and all that. But I still think center depth, particularly quality center depth, is a big issue for this team. Regardless, to me, I think you have to plan on, if you're the Predators, making a move there at the deadline.
Makes sense.
Again, you know, Novak may come out and put up, you know, 65 points by the time the trade deadline rolls around. I'm still doing it.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, and I mean, I'm basically with you. We all understand the difference in regular season hockey and the time and space evaporating in the postseason. Just given who he is physically and as a player and stuff, I mean, I think, obviously, I could see him having a good regular season, but you still, like, until you do it in the playoffs, there's going to be some skepticism, and I think it's fair.
Yeah. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Bob in Antioch. Bob, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. The other day I saw a prediction that had the Predators third in the Central Division this year. And so my question is, if that plays out and they wind up having finished third in the Central, does that mean in the playoffs they would play the team that was second?
That is correct.
So that means that, again, according to this prediction, it had Colorado as second. So that means if that scenario played out, that they would have a really tough first-round opponent. And so my question to you guys is, based on all these high expectations, what's the minimum that the Predators have to do this year in terms of advancing in playoffs for you to consider the season at least moderately successful?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Bob. Well, look, they're clearly all in, right? Like, we've talked about this. I mean, they're about as all in as it gets right now. Now, they've done so, to their credit, without having to give up a ton of future assets, right? Now, Askarov's not here anymore, so there is some future assets that you've given up. But for the most part, they've been able to keep their farm system intact. So I think their window is the next 2 years, like maybe three. But, you know, you get to year four in the contract for Stamkos and year four in the contract for Marchessault. I mean, you're talking about guys in their late 30s at that point.
Right.
So how realistic is it?
And how great, how long is Josi great?
Right.
How long is Forsberg at this level? I mean, Josi is older than Forsberg.
Yes.
I mean, he's the timeline, right?
Yeah. I mean,
as much as anything.
So, I mean, the next 2 years, you need to be pushing for a championship.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you determine whether or not it's successful. Like, if they go out this year and they're out in round two and next year out in round two again, it's hard to call that a success, right? Like, I mean, they've pushed their chips to the middle here. And look, maybe they have positioned themselves where, you know, whenever the Stamkos, Marchessault part of this is done, or at least on the backside, maybe they do have enough coming up where they can keep it going. I don't know. I think it's still It's still too early to determine whether or not that will be the case. But yeah, they're in. Like this, you need to make some deep runs here in the next couple of years. I think they've got the team to do it.
Right. And look, a big part of that is UC Soros. You made that choice, and obviously some of the evaluation of that will be long-term with Askarov and what he does elsewhere. But making that choice, it's a long-term choice, but it is definitely like right now.
It's also a short-term
the absolute best possible play you can get from UC Soros, Vezina level play, is what you need. And if he gives you that, then that validates the choice. But then, of course, like you said, then you really – evaluate it when you get to the postseason. They have to win a playoff series this year with this team.
It's been too long.
I think that they absolutely should be right there. They should be among those teams that we talk about going into the postseason. Like, yeah, they could make a run, and it would not be some shocking development.
Well, look, and they not only have they kept some of their young prospects in place, but they also have a ton of draft capital. And that's why, like, I fully anticipate they are going to use that at the trade deadline. Like, they're going to make a move at the trade deadline. It's going to happen. So whether it's at center or on defense, whether it's both, like, they're going to make a move at the deadline. If they're – unless things just go completely off the rails – before then, like, I think they're going to hang around. You know, Bob brought up Colorado there. You're going to see a lot of people heading into the season probably rank it in the Central. Dallas 1, Colorado 2, Nashville 3. I actually like Nashville more than I do Colorado because of the overall depth of the team. Like, Colorado's really top heavy, and their top, granted, their top players are unbelievable.
Pretty freaking
like
good.
Nathan McKinnon, Cale Makar, Miko Rantanen. It's hard to find a much better trio than that. I mean, you know, McDavid, Draisaitl, and Bouchard maybe, but that's about it. So that's a heck of a trio they've got. I still have big questions about Colorado's depth. I think the Predators are a better overall team than they are. So we'll see what that looks like.
And again, goalie should be
– yeah.
That should be the differentiator, a big part of it.
It right? should be. Now, you know, to Bob's point, you know, if you win the division, you're getting the wild card matchup, whether that's wild card one or wild card two. It doesn't necessarily guarantee an easier matchup. Like, it feels like we see wild card teams either win sure. around or at least push a team every year. So that part of it is what it is. But, like, that's what's interesting about this current playoff setup that, quite frankly, I don't really like. Like, I wish they'd go back to the 1-8 and just do it that way. But, you know, you finish in second or in third, it's going to be the third-place team in your division or the second-place team. The question is, who's got home ice advantage? Like, that's all it is
right
then. And I think the Predators, if I had to pick right now where they'll finish, I'd pick second. I think they're going to finish second in the division.
And look, not that their history really should apply because you want the history to change, but they're better on the road anyway. In the playoffs, they've had serious issues at home. That's something that has to get fixed this postseason.
They have to – yeah, they got to start winning some games at home in the playoffs. Dennis on the text line, is Wedgewood a downgrade or an upgrade from Lankinen? Look, I'll be honest with you, I haven't been overly impressed with him so far. Now, it's really early. And, you know, he's been a little leaky in the two preseason games that he's been in. I don't put a ton of stock into preseason games in the NHL. I just don't. Like, it's – first off, most of the time you're playing – like, the first game he played in, half the lineup's not going to be in an NHL game. So, it's just a – it's kind of a crapshoot in the preseason. So, we'll see. There has been demonstrated evidence of Wedgewood playing really good hockey in the league. So I know that he's capable of being a good backup goaltender. We'll see how it goes. I think you would take what Lankinen did.
Why are they making up the preseason game?
I don't know. I mean, I guess you have to because it's on the books. But
just like from a business perspective, yeah. I mean,
that would be my guess.
Just call it.
Yeah, I mean –
the season starts next week.
Yeah, like you're playing a preseason. And that's the thing.
Let's take everybody and travel them down there for something no one cares about.
I'm sure they've thought about this, but, like, there's no way Steven Stamkos is playing on Monday. Like, they're not playing him like, hey, I know that you're going back to Tampa here in, like, a month, and the tickets are going for, like, $500 right now, but we'll take you back for the preseason game.
There will be a real game, and that will be when people care.
Yeah. Caleb says, with all the people we added this year and the expectations, I think the crowds this year at our home games are going to be wild, quite the opposite of what Titans home games are like right now. This is from Caleb and Gallatin. Titans catching some strays in the Preds conversation.
I don't feel like the Titans – I mean, that may change, but I don't feel like the crowds have been bad.
Well, there was.
I know that the Packers
60% Packers.
Yeah, the
fans
Packers fans. Yeah, I get that. Still makes for a good atmosphere.
It does.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like a neutral site atmosphere.
It was. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. We'll have TD at 8 o'clock. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rox Road on 102.5 The Game.
Okay. Did I say Rox Road right?
Rex Road.
Rex Road. Okay, let me do that
no
again.
No worries.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5 The Game.
I think Scott Stapp's aware of that clip.
I don't know. That's a great question. He does. He lives here, right?
Yeah.
Oh, he listens to us every day.
He knows. He knew who you were.
Yeah.
I hope he's very aware of that clip.
That'd be amazing. That would be truly fantastic. I mean, I really don't think it's true, but like if he actually did, he got a word that like
this jerk.
That there's a sports talk show in town that just rips your terrible band all the time.
Again, don't include me in your ripping.
Yeah, sorry, that's the show's stance. You know?
It is not.
Well, that there's a sports talk
personality.
Yeah, there you go. That's ripping you. And then yes. He's like, yeah, let tell me that idiot's name so I can botch it in this. And, you know,
that's what I choose to
send believe
a happened.
Little warning shot. I'd love to believe that.
That's what I believe happened.
I hope so. Creed sucks. All right. So, you know what else sucks? Every once in a while we need to bring this back up. How many teams are in the SEC now?
16? Is it more than that? I think it's 16.
They went to 16 with Texas and Oklahoma.
I think so.
They play 8 conference games.
Yeah.
You soft-ass, terrible freaking league. I mean, like, are you kidding me with this garbage? Like, look, the SEC is easily the best league in college football. It's the Big Ten and the SEC are always compared. They always will. And by the way, next week in this town, leaders are going to be meeting and they're friends now and all this stuff and talk about stuff. And that's going
to
be
one trying to get some auto bids for the college football playoff.
Well, yes. Yeah, there's that too. Because the SEC and the Big Ten, no. We need all our auto bids. Okay. But the SEC and the Big Ten, so they compare. I mean, the Big Ten, I think, has a little bit more money. You know, they get a little bit more in their annual payouts, but they're comparable in every way. On the field, it's not comparable. The SEC is a much superior football product with way more legitimate teams. And they can't give us 9 SEC games when they have 16 SEC teams. Get this crap out of here. Get this crap out of here. I mean, we're just every few weeks, this is going to be resuming as a rant. It's an absolute joke. So, great story by Seth Emerson, the Athletic friend of the show. You know, 7 most watched games this season per Nielsen ratings, and 10 of the top 12 have had at least one SEC game. Now, of course, as we've discussed with this whole thing, they've gone back to ESPN and Disney and said, well, if we're going to do this, then can we have more money? So, here's some evidence that it's worthwhile. But remember, even if you don't get it, Georgia-Auburn, the oldest rivalry, will not be every year. Alabama-Tennessee, third Saturday in October, will not be every year. Texas-Texas A&M, yes. Yeah, this sports stupid and Texas and Oklahoma coming here. And wow, you know, Greg Sankey dug the knife into the back. But you know what? They're great programs, and now that means we get Texas and Texas A&M again. No, not every year. The basis for the movie Best Little Whorehouse in Texas can't even be an every year rivalry.
That is true.
Dolly Parton, Burt Reynolds, underrated 80s movie. Alabama LSU, that's a pretty good one. Nope, sorry. There's no way to preserve these if you stick with 8. We all talk about better games. We have an expanded playoff. And you can't go to 9 games when you have 16 teams. We're going to talk. I just promise you, we've talked about this some too, but once we actually get there, when we get to what you see in the difference in scheduling and how, like, Georgia might get screwed this year and, like, Missouri might get in because they got a completely different level of schedule than Georgia got.
I think they're losing tomorrow, but that's just me.
Yeah, you may be right. But that stuff like that will happen. And nine games won't eliminate that, but it gives you a little bit better chance. The more you can have, the more chance of some semblance of balance in these schedules that you have. Again, also, you have the product. Again, let's charge the fans 10% more for the NIL fund. Okay. I get it. You can play the shell game however you want. You can't give them nine games. There's no excuse. And so there's this Big Ten SEC scheduling thing that they're going to be talking about next week, and it makes sense. So you're probably going to have some sort of it's like the – Like almost like the basketball.
The challenge.
Yeah, type thing where they're going to, and that's great. More good games. But the Big Ten may balk if the SEC doesn't step up and go to nine. I mean, just enough of this crap. That needs to change instantly. There's no excuse for it. And also, the other rant that I'll continue to bring up over and over again is once we see the top four seeds, great job. You've earned it. You've earned a bye. That's actually the correct word, use of the word bye. You've earned a bye to the second round. And you get to play in some antiseptic neutral site for the rest of the entire playoff after playing in an antiseptic neutral site for your conference title game. That's a different rant for another day. But it's out there.
I don't see that one changing.
I think it will change this year. I shouldn't say immediately, but yes. I think that when these top four seeds – and everybody sees how amazing it's going to be in the first round and see 5, 6, 7, and 8 get home games. And I understand it's an extra game you have to play, but when people see those and say, gosh, that's right. It's just kind of like the NFL playoffs where until you Super Bowl, you earn like a home game, which is a bigger advantage. And also it's a million times better atmosphere. And why does every bowl game have to be included now still in the playoff? Well, right. But I understand that, but I do think that there will be a stronger push and the bowls can still be the semis and the title game. Take one of the bowls and just make it a rotating title game. Nick Saban's pushing for that. Nick Saban's saying it's a disaster when we just farm it out to a city. Okay, so these six bowl games that now have all the power, take three of them every year and rotate that every other year. I'm sorry, man, but that's what it's got to be, and I'm sorry that I just switched my rant, but there's that one too. So
you didn't
I'm
enjoy
now.
Watching Tennessee play Kent State and or Chattanooga this year? That wasn't a fun time.
Yeah,
for you?
And look, those aren't going away completely. Like that's not going to totally end. But yeah, let's take one of them and make it an SEC game, please. It does not add up with everything else that's going on. It's soft.
Honestly, when all this expansion started to happen. And we got into this. I thought nine games would be a foregone conclusion for the SEC.
I didn't think it would
didn't
be
even really
any
consider
kind of an
that
argument.
It would be. Yeah, like I thought it would be, no doubt, done. And when they came out, I mean, it's been like a year now since we've talked about it. When they came out like a year ago and it wasn't happening, I was like, "Are you serious? Like, is this not going to nine?" It's unbelievable to me they've not figured out that solution yet.
Right. And look, this is competing. I mean, frankly, there's some of the weaker programs in the league, or some of the. And I mean, I'm all for everybody should have a voice, but yeah.
Sometimes you get outvoted.
Sorry, Missouri. You know, you got to, like, Missouri, take your schedule this year and enjoy it, because coming up one of these years, I'm sure it'll come back on you the other way.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport. We'll get into all things Titans with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.